meditation today is in Psalm 84. We, of course, continue to use the New King James Version. Please read with me. Psalm 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. I trust that every believer, everyone with a new heart, feels the same pulse that David did. Pardon me, that the sons of Korah did here. The same sensation. We have new hearts, circumcised hearts, as the Old Testament would have put it, that beat together in sympathy here. We rejoice at the thought of being in the house of God. Now, in the time of the sons of Korah, they were looking to the temple, that place where the priests work, that place where the sacrifices and offerings were made, that place where the men at least went three times a year for the solemn festivals. That place, in short, where Jesus, his person, and his work were all portrayed in Old Covenant signs, in types, in figures, in shadows. Who he was, or I should say maybe who he would be, and what he would do were all signified before the people. To make it more clear, of course, God gave to them his servants, the prophets, who took these lessons and who were spoken to by God that they might speak to the people, and made things more clear yet. The people rejoiced to be there at the temple, just like the sons of Korah. And by the way, who were they? They were Levites. They were Levites, probably named for one of the sons of Levi, Korah, one of the three family divisions within the tribe of Levi. In any case, these men, these Levites from among the sons of Korah, felt this, and so have all believers. Now, of course, there is no temple anymore that is made of stone and of Lebanon cypress and with gold coverings and ornate curtains and useful and God-designed furniture. We have a more wonderful temple yet. We have a temple that is built with living stones, and each one of you who are in Jesus Christ is one of those living stones. We're built on a foundation that does not rest on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, but is built upon the course, the foundation course of the prophets and apostles, with the chief cornerstone being the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The church of Jesus Christ is the New Testament temple, and there is to be no other that replaces it. Furthermore, within the most holy place is a great high priest, but one who does not have to repeat his work year by year. One who does not need to make atonement for himself, for he is perfect as a priest, and he offers a perfect victim. In fact, he has done so at the cross. And I'm speaking, of course, of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no need for him to repeat it time after time after time, as the old high priests had to. For his work is finished, his work is complete, and there is no more sacrifice for any altar. No, for the sacrifice has done all. After all, did not the priest, in offering himself there on the altar of the cross, say, "It is finished"? Can there be more after the finish? Just think, children, of a movie. When it says the end, that means it's like, you know, the end. And so it was with Jesus' work, completed. It is because of all that that we can rejoice as we come to the people of God to join Sabbath by Sabbath in formal public worship. We can and do rejoice that we come before God together. And we are safe and we are secure. Just like the picture here of the sparrow and the swallow who lay their eggs in peace and security. We are those who, by God's grace, because of what Jesus has done for us, who have His blessing, and we dwell in the house. We are part of the house, aren't we? We praise Him. We find that our strength is in Him, and we have our hearts set on pilgrimage, don't we? Children, that's a word maybe you don't know. Pilgrimage means a special trip to a holy place. And if we're in Jesus, that's what we're doing. We're heading toward heaven, aren't we? We're heading toward heaven. We go through the Valley of Baca. Where's that? Well, you don't really maybe need to know the exact location. It's in Bible places. But it means a place of weeping, the Valley of Weeping. But when we are in Jesus, when we are on our way, the Valley of Weeping is made into a place that is a spring. A place where there is not salty waters of bitterness from our own tears, but fresh, refreshing, life-giving water from Him who is the living water. The rain covers it with pools, and by God's grace we go from strength to strength as we grow in our knowledge, grow in our holiness, as the Holy Spirit works upon us, and each one of us appears before God in Zion. This is why we, along with sons of Korah, can have the confidence to cry out to God, "Hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob." It's following that verse in verse 8 that we have the ultimate reason why we have this joy. It is because, well, not only the sons of Korah, but we too call upon Jehovah, call upon God to behold the one who shields us from the wrath of God that we deserve, shields us from His, well, just curse. We are crying to God to behold the one who is His anointed. Or as it would be in the Hebrew, HaMashiach. Or as it would be, as many in New Testament times would have read it, in the Greek version called the Septuagint, it would have said, "Look upon the face of your Christos." That sounds just like Christ, doesn't it? It is the word Christ. We're speaking of Jesus here. Look upon Him, God, who shields us from the wrath and the curse that we must admit we deserve. Look upon Him as He saves us. It is as we trust Jesus to save us from the wrath that we deserve that we are saved, of course. And it is by His grace that we are not only justified, but made new, so that we have all the delights that are spoken of here by the sons of Korah. We find perhaps, well, once church was boring or stupid or something like that, but now we find that a day in his court is better than 1,000. And we can say along with the sons of Korah, can't we? We can relate to this. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Somebody who is kind of lowly, but is there at the house of God, than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Far better to be with the people of God in poverty and obscurity than with the rich and the famous that are going to perish. Jehovah God is a sun and a shield. He will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly, those who are made new in his anointed, his Messiah, his Christ. O Lord of hosts, this is the capping verse here, verse 13. Blessed is the man who trusts in, not himself, not in his own works, not in the ideologies and fancies of man, but who trusts in him, who trusts in Christ, the one sent by God to save his people from their sin. Let's sing about this Christ. All the Psalms speak of him, as we say, from week to week, but some are more obviously doing so than others. And when we have the Christ referred to here, why, it's pretty obvious indeed, isn't it? That's in part B of Psalm 84. Let's sing that together.